Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Think about this. A tidal wave coming to your shore. Imagine if it's a tidal wave of the sea of humanity. We've heard prophetic words from Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. You heard prophetic words coming from us and John Ramos on the program. He's just talking about a big, huge wave coming. You hear a prophetic word that was given by Pat Hamilton that'll be with us, by the way, in our next program, but a prophetic wave coming to the shores. And so we thought about, you know, it's a wave of God's glory, but we're beginning to see it looks like a wave of the sea of humanity. Before we go, though, to Venezuela and see what's happening with this financial collapse, I first want to show you how close it is because we're not necessarily always that good with geography, but take a look at this. This is Venezuela. Venezuela is the top portion of South America, but it's only 3.5 hours away from Miami. I mean, think about that. Only 3.5 hours away from Miami. So we're watching what's taking place in Venezuela. Understand this, that it's just real close to our borders, and we're starting to see where 400 citizens a day are coming into Orlando, Florida. That's just Orlando, Florida from Venezuela. But what's taking place right there in Venezuela? A financial collapse. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
Venezuela is a country rich in natural resources, the fifth largest exporter of oil in the world. But despite its assets, the economy is disintegrating. With basic necessities scarce and inflation skyrocketing, some reports suggest it could go as high as 700%.
The people of Venezuela are suffering from violence, a world record of daily murders, and random kidnappings. They are suffering permanent shortages of food, basic goods, most medicines, and medical care. Water is scarce and no longer guarantees the former sanitary standards. Even electricity is subject to frequent rationing.
Many blame the economic collapse on the country's socialist leader, President Nicolas Maduro. The people of Venezuela calling for him to be ousted before the end of his term. But in an effort to hold on to power, he's declared a state of emergency.
I constitutionally decided to adopt a new emergency decree, which gives me enough power to defeat the coup, the economic war, to stabilize our country socially, and to face all the international and national threats that we have now against our country.
This decree expands on Maduro's previously declared economic state of emergency from last January. It's still unclear, however, what the president intends to use his special powers for.
Whatever the solution of the crisis will be, the people of Venezuela need their institutions to address the security situation and to put the economy back on track.
The people of Venezuela say they're tired of food and energy shortages, and they're taking their protests to the streets.
I'm tired of this tragedy and everything. I want him to leave quietly and peacefully, that he leave Venezuela to us, that we have people to solve the problems.
What we want is to remove this yoke off of us to be able to live well. I'm not worried about myself. I'm worried for my children that they are going to have a destroyed country.
The situation is so severe, the New York Times reports it's even making it hard for doctors to keep newborn babies alive due to a lack of drugs in the country's collapsing hospitals. Critics warn the crisis in Venezuela is just the latest example of the failures of socialism. Thomas Lifson of The American Thinker writing, quote, "There's a real possibility of starvation, horrendous political violence, and mass suffering in a nation that holds the world's largest oil reserves. Socialism's toxicity has never been more tellingly demonstrated than in Venezuela." Brett Stevens of the Wall Street Journal brings the point home to our own soil, saying Venezuela is a clear lesson for people supporting socialist Bernie Sanders. Bernie's way paves the same road to serfdom that socialism does everywhere. Take the time to tell your kids what socialism is and does before they too feel the burn. Caitlin Burke, CBS.
That's Venezuela. Think about this. They're the fifth largest distributor of oil in the world. I believe they have the largest oil reserves, larger reportedly than Saudi Arabia. But because of socialism and because of tyrannical leadership, they're just in a major crisis. And that major crisis is creating, I mean, you can only stay in a place so long where there's no food, no electricity, no medicine, not enough substance to be able to support your family. And they're beginning to flee to other countries, coming that short distance away of 3.5 hours, I believe, to Florida and other states in the country. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
The people of Venezuela are suffering right now in a country rocked with not only political unrest, but permanent shortages of food, basic goods, and medicine. Many are fleeing to the United States and specifically to Orlando, Florida. Churches there are welcoming them. And here to tell us more is Pastor Gabriel Salguero with Iglesia El Calvario, Calvary Church. Pastor Salguero, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great being here. Thanks for inviting me.
What are you seeing in your church right now? How often do you meet a family that has just arrived from Venezuela?
Weekly at every one of our three worship services, we have several families coming to worship with us and saying they've relocated to Central Florida and that they want to come to Iglesia El Calvario. And they're like, Pastor Salguero, we're Christians back home, whether it's Maracaibo or Caracas or any part of Venezuela, and we're relocating to Central Florida, and they're looking for a church home. So it's about 400 families a month from Venezuela.
Wow. And what are they telling you? What are their reasons for leaving?
Well, I think there's many. I mean, like many immigrant groups, a lot of them are coming for economic opportunity, and they're looking for either job or employment. Many of them are professionals, doctors, lawyers, teachers. And so they're looking for economic opportunity and a better future for themselves and for their children. That's the main thrust of the relocation and the diaspora from Venezuela.
And how are they finding it getting settled in the U.S.? Are they finding employment?
I mean, it's a challenge. As you know, there's also major migration from Puerto Rico, about 1,000 families a month coming to Central Florida. And so Central Florida is a real hub for Hispanic evangelicalism in the United States. And what I have found is that the church, the Latino evangelical church, becomes a bridge to social networks and to employments. And so we have actually employment fairs at our church, and we have employment training. But many of them, because Venezuelans have come before them, family members have come before them, they're able to tap into existing networks. But it's always a challenge, a new country, new language, new community.
We're hearing a lot of reports of critical, you know, food shortages mm-hmm. and no medicine, dire hospital situations. Are you hearing some of those stories of real need?
Yeah, there is a real challenge. There is a real economic challenge. There's a real opportunity challenge. I think that we've heard some of the reports of shortages and rationing. I myself went to Maracaibo, Venezuela, years ago to meet with the pastors there and to build bridges of relationships. But at the same time, there's a real opportunity to be a gospel presence and to be Jesus to these people, and also to accept them because they bring gifts and talents, and they're already part of the church. They're already part of evangelical movements. And so what we're doing is collaborating with the sending churches in Venezuela while we receive them here to be that bridge to the opportunities they might encounter.
Now, what are you hearing from them about their church experience in Venezuela? Are they able to worship freely there?
They are. I mean, I spoke at a church in Maracaibo that was about 3,000 members in La Iglesia Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia in Maracaibo. And there's freedom there. There's freedom of religion. I think there is some concern about the trajectory and ideology in which the government is going. But there's a division even amongst evangelicals. Some are pro-government, some are anti the present government. And that's a very delicate conversation being had in Venezuela and out of Venezuela.
Well, I'm sure it's bittersweet working with pastors from Venezuela, knowing that so many of them are seeing their congregations dwindle right now. What does it mean for the churches in Orlando? Are you really seeing an influx? I know there's Puerto Rican immigrants coming right now, too.
No, there are. I mean, probably the fastest growing Hispanic population among evangelicals is probably in Central and South Florida. So we are seeing an influx. Our deepest regret is that it's the cost of the diaspora of evangelical churches in the Caribbean and Latin America. But like I said earlier, you know, 400 families a month from Venezuela, that's a major migration push. That's a major arrival. Something akin to the book of Exodus, where massive movements of people. And what we have to do is be ready to receive them with love, with the gospel, and tell them that they have a home here in Christ and in the Latino Evangelical Church and in El Calvario.
Wow, well, that is a huge shift. Pastor Salguero, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
This is so important. I think about one of the words that was given prophetically coming out of Tennessee. I can't tell you who the minister is right this moment, but he talked about how there would be a huge wave of Hispanics coming to America, and they're very loyal to the Lord. They have a passion for God, and we're beginning to see that word coming. Perry Stone prophesied that. We had that on our program. We'll make that available to you. But that they expected this, and this word, it says, that over the amount of children that have been aborted in America, the lives that have been lost, that number of Hispanics will be coming to America, literally, in a way, he said, to replace the people whose lives were taken. There'll be a huge wave of revival coming to America with Hispanics. And we're so excited about them coming to America. Let's take a look right here again. Notice it's only 3.5 hours away from Venezuela. And when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about Puerto Rico is going through financial difficulties and crisis, and they are coming at 1,000 a month, 1,000 people a month coming into Orlando, coming into Florida from Puerto Rico. It's happening as we speak.
So that is Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Puerto Rico, a territory of America, is also, as you can see right here, it is, how many miles away is Puerto Rico from Miami? About 2 hours and 45 minutes. And the fiscaltimes.com is reporting that the U.S. territory, Puerto Rico, can't pay its debt and will soon run out of money. How did this mess take place? They say Puerto Rico owes a lot of money. The island has been more than has more than $72 billion of debt, and that's nearly 100% of its total annual output.
Nice.
Do you know that? 100% of its total annual output, and an estimated $30 billion shortfall in its state's pension plan. Two government agencies have nearly defaulted on their debt, and a $2 billion payment is due in July. When you think about that, so you have this territory, which is 2 hours and 45 minutes right outside of Miami, Florida. Their unemployment rate is reported in this article is at 12%. It's over 12% and would be twice as high if the Puerto Rican citizens didn't, you know, exercise their citizenship of America and come to the mainland, the article says. The poverty rate's at 45% in Puerto Rico compared to 15% inside the main state. And half of Puerto Rico residents are on Medicaid.
Mm.
They're in financial crisis. What's happening? Just like the pastor said, they're coming, just 1,000 are coming of our citizens, they're citizens of America, are coming to Florida a month. 1,000 a month, and it just lines up with the prophetic word of what God was saying about what would take place. And even Rick Joyner, you heard during the break, are you ready for 1,000 people joining your church a week? I mean, do you have a vision how to bring in the harvest and to train the harvest up and to be able to launch the harvest, make them disciples of Jesus Christ, and launch them into the harvest field? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do.
That's right.
You know, and we actually can help you do that if you don't have a plan yet. The plan is at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's called the Emmaus Road Discipleship. You probably can see that on your screen. But understand, you got to prepare yourself. If not, you can, as Rick Joyner said, I'm falling in. As Rick Joyner said, that, you know, it can kill you. I remember at Brownsville Revival, when we had so many people coming a week, we had to lay our lives down for the harvest. But it's worth that. It's totally worth that. That's what we're called to do. And I want to encourage you to prepare yourself for this harvest because it's taking place. And not only that, in El Salvador, you know, ABC News is reporting the crime rate is so high. It's so high that the murder rate, I mean, I think it was like a murder every particular, there was nearly one homicide per hour for the first 3 months in 2016. And they're packing people. As a matter of fact, watch this ABC News segment talking about the crime rate. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to come into America. Everybody's going to start heading towards a safe land to be able to feed their family and to protect them. And with us as Americans, as Christians, we want to be able to share the gospel and embrace our brothers and sisters if they come to America. Let's take a look.
We take you inside one of the most dangerous countries on earth, a place where criminal gangs control entire neighborhoods. And these gangs from El Salvador are now operating in nearly every corner of America. Families on both sides of the border caught in a toxic cycle of violence. It's a special edition of Nightline, Gangland.
Negativo, ¿no?
It's the middle of the night in the murder capital of the world.
Something's going on in the area.
We're in El Salvador, on patrol with armed-to-the-teeth cops.
This is a very dangerous place.
To take us to this rundown police station where they're holding allegedly vicious combatants in this country's all-out gang war.
How many people are they holding here?
169
people in here?
169, 4 cellas.
I'm sure you can get a sense of how small this is, but this is tiny. They're just piled on top of each other. What does it say on your forehead?
El sello de la bestia.
666.
666, he says.
Diablo.
El diablo, no?
El diablo.
They're only supposed to be in here for 72 hours.
How long have you been in?
Yo tengo un año ya.
1 year.
This place, a clear sign that this impoverished nation may simply be overwhelmed.
Do you ever get to step outside?
Nah.
By young people who feel they have no choice but to join a gang.
How strong is the bond with your other gang members?
This is the war next door. In tiny El Salvador, just over 1,500 miles south of the U.S. border, there's nearly one homicide an hour.
Rapes, shootings, and stabbings. MS-13 has left a trail of victims throughout greater Boston.
Living in our neighborhoods here in Southern California.
And now these gangs are exporting death directly into America.
Terrorizing the city of Greeley.
Active in 46 states.
Mata, viola, controla. Kill, rape, control.
A tragedy taking place. But you know, God has called us to go into all the world and to make disciples of the nations. And not only are we not concerned about the nations, we're not even making disciples in our own nation. Do you know that God's kingdom, when God's kingdom moves into a place, it changes everything. The crime rate, it changes marriage situations, it changes everything. God is the answer. The church is sent as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to be able to go and share the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and the deliverance that comes in the name of Jesus Christ. But are we doing that? We're going to talk about this and so much more. Is this the tidal wave of humanity rushing over the borders? How long would you stay in an environment that has that kind of murder rate? 46 states have members of those gangs in America. The crisis that's coming, and we need to prepare. It's time to be followers of Jesus Christ. It's time to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It's time to get serious with God, because the church in America is going to be brought to a point. You know, whom do you believe? Who is your God? You know, is God God or is Baal God? Baal represents all the things right now America is being turned over to. Or is Jesus Christ, is God, Jehovah God, whose son is Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, is he your Lord and Savior? We'll talk more about this in this prophetic dream, talking about gangs in America that God shared in a night vision, and so much more right after this break. As a matter of fact, take a look at this offer first.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Student rights and prayer. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a senior in high school, and they have a prayer group that meets at school, and the school is not letting them have this prayer meeting inside the building.
Well, that's absolutely incorrect. They should have the right to meet in the building before the beginning of the school day. They have the right to pray. But there is nothing in the Constitution or in our court's opinions that prohibit prayer before, after, or during the school day. Here you're before the school day. I'm sure they allow other groups to meet before. The students are allowed to come in. You're not requiring participation. It's student-led and student-initiated. It's met all the criteria that the Supreme Court has said are the requirements for allowance of unequal access. That's what this is. You hang on the line. We'll get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and get you some help.
Learn more about student rights and the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Well,
Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. The word today is communication. Irene Black from Kayeta, Arizona, who's a social worker, wanted me to talk about it. Well, Irene, you're talking about something I love, and that is to communicate. The thing I want you to understand about communication today is that it's not a one-way street. Communication is not me talking and you listening. It's not me speaking, telling, directing, pointing. It's us engaged in a two-way conversation. You're talking, I'm talking, I'm listening, you're listening. We're kind of taking what I call a verbal journey, a visual journey, an emotional journey together. So often in communication, we leave someone. I see it happen all the time. Somebody starts talking, the other person's gone. Whenever that happens, Irene, just stop the communication and understand you got to connect, and then you communicate. If I communicate and don't connect, I will always lose the audience. But if I connect with them first, then as we communicate, and communication is not me, it's we, then it will be effective.
Here we are. Yes, VFN-TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome back. Are these crazy days or what? There was two leopards. They were standing outside a city. And they were starving. It was famine. And leopards could not come into the city during those days. Obviously, it would spread. And they just said, you know what? If we die, we die. And they went in. Of course, when they got in, there's a whole story about that, was defeated. And they got the plunder of the particular city. But every human being's like that. I mean, how long are you going to let your children starve? How long are you going to live in an environment where they're coming after you, trying to kill your son? And that particular, we're going to make that segment totally available to you from ABC News. You got to watch the whole thing. Because a mother was having a funeral for her son. And while she was having the funeral for her son, a shooting took place at the funeral inside while the pastor was preaching the funeral, trying to kill her only other son. I mean, how long, you know, would a parent put up with that? People are going to begin to flood towards America. If we don't go into the world as the church and begin to win disciples and disciple the nations, this is what happens. Evil begins to take over in areas, you know, that evil fills the void. There's no, can't just leave a void there. Evil just kind of flows into that void. But look at this one particular guy. I mean, he's got, you know, say 666 across his forehead right here. He's been in, one guy's been in there a whole year in this small little cell. And, but you think about it, if you're hopeless and if you've been raised, your parents have been gang members and they're the ones that kept you from getting killed by somebody else. You have this loyalty in a secular sense. And these are, these gangs, these, the MS-16 type groups. I mean, it is very demonic. I mean, talking about cutting off body parts, heads, limbs. They're finding them all over Texas. 46 states have, active members of these gangs, ABC's News is reporting. But you think about this. How far away? People, we always think, like, oh, that's way down the street. That's far away from us. They'll never get near us. Well, look again. Look again right here. El Salvador is only 2 hours and 40 minutes. 2 hours and 40 minutes away. One simple flight. Or you can go right up through Mexico and come over the border, which we know plain as day. We've been watching.
They're doing that right now.
And they're the ones protecting those children that came over the line. They parents sent their kids with these gang members, protecting them, supposedly, and paid the gang members to be able to carry their children into America. That's what the reports were. And, of course, the kids were being abused all along the way. And they said, according to this ABC News report, as soon as they get into America, it's the gangs in America who accept these children in, and they actually adopt them into their gangs in America.
The answer is not more law enforcement. The answer is not Washington, D.C. The answer is for the church. We've got to begin to believe God, what he's told us to do. The answer is getting delivered. This is what Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus. I mean, a major church. I mean, this was a major metropolis, Ephesus was. And in Ephesus, he was the first man there. There was nobody there but him in regards to Christianity. And he came up and he showed himself and trusted God and began to win a person to the Lord, another one to the Lord, and began to show them the way. And all of a sudden, the whole city, the economy began to change, where they were actually making all these statues and images for these false gods. People just quit buying them. They quit spending their money in those areas. So much so that the leader of the marketplace comes to Paul and wants to persecute him because people quit buying Diana statues that he was making his money off of. Did he go in there and say, listen, you know, everybody, this boycott, this maker of Diana statues? No, he didn't do that. He just preached the gospel. And people, all of a sudden, when they get touched with the presence and the desire of God, these things begin to change in your life. The church is turning to a political answer. The church is turning to a conservative answer, all these other answers, instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, these guys with 666 across his forehead, he is proud to be a disciple of Satan.
Mm.
I mean, he has it written right across his forehead. He says, is this Diablo? He says, yes, it is. It's the devil. I mean, he's a disciple of Satan right now. You don't have to always be that way. But how about you? When somebody talks to you, do you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or do you kind of like, I'm a conservative, you know, and I like conservative principles. And, you know, or do you say, yes? And then Jesus would say, well, disciples are people that know my teachings and follow them. So now is there enough evidence to convict you of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because right now what's being taught in the church in America is good ideas, 5 points to how to prosper, and, you know, things about body ministries, ministry to the flesh, you know, things to make your life more comfortable, mm-hmm. more convenient, even soulish ministry, but in regards to spiritual ministry, in regards to saying, you know what? I want to be like a Moravian. I mean, you think, when we get back from this break, I want to talk to you more about that, because it's not odd for people who are true disciples of Jesus Christ to suffer persecution. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to suffer storms. Persecution is going to come. You're going to be treated just like me, Jesus said. If you don't know it or not, he wasn't treated well. Paul wasn't treated well. We'll talk about that as well. But it's not, we're not, our value is not determined on how well people treat us. Or if everybody's treating us well, Jesus said that's how they treated the false folks, the false prophets. And so often people are measuring their success and where they are in God based off how many people like them. And, you know, and some people aren't liked because they're mean. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, I'm not talking about people who love folks, but yet they reject the gospel message that they're carrying. People don't want anything to do with God, those folks. It's not about, are you known on earth? Are you known in heaven? Is your name known in hell? As Steve Hill used to say at the Brownsville Revival, as thousands and thousands came to the altars on a continual basis to give their lives over to the Lord. I know this is like, when you think about it, because we've been so spoiled and there's been so much comfort and convenience and blessing in America, you know, most folks go like, that's like scary and dangerous. Well, guess what? Because we didn't go to them, it looks like they're going to come to us. The question is, what we should have done, would have went into their nations. Will we do it when they come into our nation? Will we tell them about Jesus? Will we win them? Will we believe there's more power in the kingdom of God than there is power of Satan? Because there is, but only if you believe it. Well, you think about this. We're talking about, what is the answer to this crisis? What is the answer to a flood of humanity coming over the borders of America? Jesus Christ, it's the kingdom. I mean, if we wouldn't go to their nations, it looks like God's bringing them to us.
That's right.
You're a missionary. Congratulations,
right?
But you think, how could this be happening? This is the reason why. There's many Americans that believed that, you know, they can do whatever they want to do. There's no cost for giving ourselves over to certain sins. But you have to understand, you can't, when you bite into the enemy's camp and you say, I'm going to just give myself over to this one sin, there's 10 million more that will join you. It's like, I'm just going to actually have one fly in my life. You're going to be a swarm of flies over you. Why? Because sin will carry you further than you want to go. Take you places you don't want to go. It'll cost you more than you don't want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. the direction that America has turned itself into right now, without us turning this thing around, the ship around, this is where it's going to go. Evil. Evil's going to come over our borders. But the answer is not just, you can't stop evil with evil. As Dr. Martin Luther King said, you have to start evil. The only way you can defeat evil is with love. You can't defeat hate with hate. You can only do that with love. You can't defeat darkness with darkness. You can only do that with light. And so we actually have to be Pauls in our generation. We have to be disciples of Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about that. You know, Paul was shipwrecked. He was in prison. He was stoned. He was ridiculed. He was robbed, all on his journey to be able to tell people about Jesus Christ, that he loves you and he's got a plan for your life. This is a tough one. If you haven't yet read what The Torch and the Sword with Rick Joyner, this vision that he'd been given by God, and he wrote it down in a book called The Torch and the Sword, it's a must read because it will really give you insight. But one thing that he discovered was, you know, it's not about how many people you take with you. It's how many people that are willing to fight the fight, the ones that are willing to stand and fight the good fight of faith. Because this one particular 12-year-old girl in the vision, she was the one God was using to be able to to advance the kingdom of God against this huge hordes of hell. And when you're looking at what took place at El Salvador right there, we're seeing what's taking place and how the enemy's just hurting people and doing these things. That's the hordes of hell. But you know what? God loves them. God loves these people. It's Satan. He says, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against evil principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness. They're held captive by Lucifer, basically, to do his will. So Rick Joyner's with this particular girl in this vision, this 12-year-old girl, and he's thinking, listen, we're going to need some help.
Yeah.
We're going to have some help.
It's just you and me right now.
Because all they had was one little small little territory they were defending of water. Yeah. And this whole hordes of hell, what did it look like? It looked exactly like what you saw in El Salvador prisons.
Completely surrounded.
Completely surrounded. And Rick's going, man, we're going to need some help. And she said, I thought that's how it was before. And that's where past failures took place, because I thought I needed more people. He says, those people are the ones that actually prevented us from advancing. Why? Because they could not handle the ridicule. They couldn't handle the suffrage in going forward in such an advancement. And so she's there by herself. And then he said, we're going to have to learn how to ride this horse. And she said to Rick Joyner, well, you're going to teach me. He's like, I don't know how to ride a horse.
While you're learning how to ride it.
And faith is about just going where God wants you to go and do what he wants you to do. And he enables us to do it as we do it. And so he didn't even know how to ride the horse. God was going to use to be able to defeat the hordes of hell. But this is the goal. This is the outcome of defeating the hordes of hell. Those individuals that are being used right now by Lucifer, they're going to surrender their souls to Jesus Christ. They're going to want to remove those tattoos from their head. They're going to find out how good God is, that he forgives and he restores. And you don't have to sell your soul over to a gang. You can join the family of God, and God will be with you. God will protect you. And guess what? So what he said, what she said to him in this prophetic vision was, our help is in the hordes of hell.
Yeah. She points and says, there they are right there. We have to go win them.
Our help is in the jails of El Salvador. Our help is in the financial crisis of El Salvador, of Venezuela.
Venezuela, yeah, Puerto Rico.
And our brothers and fellow citizens in Puerto Rico. This mindset about, like, we don't want these people here. What are we doing? We're Christians. We should be, you know, if we're not going to go in the mission field, at least we can go outside our houses and begin to share with them the love of God and our testimonies, what God has done in our life. Can you be persecuted in that environment? Yes, you can be persecuted in that environment.
Jesus said he was persecuted. He was, and he says, so will you be.
And I got to admit, you know, it's, you know, like we're saying during the break, when Paul's stoned and he gets off the pile of stone, rocks in Israel are like this. They're not like little pebbles.
He was left for dead.
Left for dead. And then he went back to preach to the people pretty much in the environment that stoned him. I think Pat Hamilton's favorite quote is out of one of Rick Joyner's books, actually. He says, until you're willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. So you're willing to do that, you're not ready yet. And it's like, if you're living your life for men's eyes, if you're living your life because, you know, you want everybody's approval, you're not going to have God's approval. But if you understand, like Paul did and like others did, and like Jesus was operating here when his ministry on earth, it's like, you know, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only do what I see the Father doing. I mean, it's his will and his way. And it's very freeing, because it's difficult to win the approval of men especially when they're held captive by religious spirits and all these different things. But hey, if you're going to answer alone before God with no witnesses and no suspects, you're going to stand before God. You're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to run this ball.
That's right.
I'm going to head to the end zone. You know, if that's the goal that I got to hit, I'm going to run. You know, I want some evidence when I stand before God.
It even makes me think about David Wilkerson, which what he wrote in his book. I can't think of the title right now, but he was in Pennsylvania, and God broke his heart for a gangs in New York. He goes to New York, and I believe one of the
crossing
gangs...
Crossing the Switchblade.
One of the gangs was the Mau Maus, and he goes... These two gangs are just at odds with each other, and he goes to preach the gospel, and they threaten his life, and the guy says, I will cut you into 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson says, every one of those pieces will love you. And they beat him up. Yeah. He's in a hospital. He goes back... And to this day, the leader of that gang, I think his name, Nicky Cruz.
Yes.
He is now a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's just look at it. It's just like, that's what God has called us to do. Go into the darkness. The light doesn't belong in the light. The light belongs in the darkness. We're not good at that yet.
Pat, he teaches us how to do that. We're not good at that yet, right?
Right.
We got to start praying about that. We need grace to be able to do that. Because not only that, Nicky Cruz, his gang beat David Wilkerson up, beat him, left him on the sidewalk, beat to a pulp, bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
But God gave him a love. It's like, Lord, give us that love, that we may love them the way you love them, that you may show us the love you have for Jesus, that we could have that same love inside of us. Right now, the church is defining itself way too much off horizontal definitions. What men say the church is, what a government says in their 501c3 corporations, all these different stuff. But the reality is there's one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one church, and God has called us to serve him. And this life is but a vapor. And when you know, people are willing, life is not worth living until you actually are willing to lay down your life for something. And many people do. Many people lay down their life for all kinds of things. I mean, NFL football players, you can say what you want to, but their bodies are beat to a pulp in 6 to 7 years, something like that. I mean, they love football so much, they're willing to give their future physical potential body over all this beating up, and many of them have brain injuries and different things. Not all of them, but some. But they're willing to do. At least they're willing to give themselves over to something. And but imagine God, the creator of the universe, who is preparing a place for you, who wants to forgive you of your sins and bring you into the family, establish you, and send you out with authority that's in heaven and earth and under the sea in the name of Jesus, and that every demon will have to bow its knee when you come into a place or a room with that kind of authority. That you're willing to look, you know, Diablo, you know, in the eye and you say, come out of him like Legion, and Legion had to leave when Jesus confronted that. This is what it's going to take. The issues that are going on are demonic. God, you have to understand, people, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is stuff that's coming in. We've sat there and we ignored these countries for so long, the church, not our government per se, but the church. And we like, you know, you can't. 81% of Christians in America don't even pick up their Bible. You know, if 81% are picking up their Bible, they're not going to go to El Salvador in the midst of Diablo's gang and MS-16 or 18, whatever it is, and go down there and say, hey, I just want to tell you God loves you. Right?
Not going to happen.
But that's what God's called us to do. I mean, Paul stood in the middle of the streets and declared with great boldness, you know, God loves you. God, he was willing to lay down his life. He talks about in Romans 11, even give up his own salvation. I'm not going there with him. But the whole thing is that he was so in love with his fellow Jews, he wanted them to know Christ. And he even talked to the Gentiles, said, listen, don't be boasting about your, you know, you were grafted in. You know, you need to have a love for the Jewish folks. They're the main branches. So here we are. What is the answer to all this sea of humanity? Maybe it's the original commission. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now go into all the ethnos, the ethnic groups, the nations. The Puerto Ricans, the Venezuelans, the El Salvadorians, the Mexicans, the fellow Americans in your community. And preach the gospel. Tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And those who believe, which means some will, some won't, but some will. God wants you to tell them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I've commanded you. And you'll go out and you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll cast out demons. You'll prophesy. The power of God will be with you, and I'll be with you confirming my word every step of the way. The answer is not Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is about to come to a halt, and it's going to reboot, I believe, some of the prophetic words over it. But what are you going to do? the best days of the church, the true church, is ahead. The most exciting days. Is there going to be a price? There's a price for the Moravians. I mean, they would go into mission fields knowing that they would die at an early age, and they didn't even put a plaque to celebrate them. They would just send their replacement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that everybody in the world, I know we got to go, but everybody's trying to live so long. But what are you living for? It's time to live for the purpose that God's created us to live. If you have a short life, at least it's a meaningful life. It's a life meant for a purpose. So when you stand before God, you'll have no regrets because there's no witnesses or no suspects. Is that you? I want to invite you. If you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you need to go to meetmyfather.org. I share a testimony where I met God through his son, Jesus Christ, and you can meet him too. And go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org and join the army of God, the spiritual army of God, to go out to share the love of Christ. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for our audience that's watching and listening right now, Father God. I pray that you'll bless them and encourage them, that they wouldn't be fearful, but they would realize that Christ in them, Christ in us, is the hope of glory in them. God, I pray for a turnabout in their heads, a turnabout in their hearts, and a turnabout in their understanding. God, I pray for your kingdom to come to El Salvador, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, and America, God, that your kingdom would come, your will be done in these areas, Father God, and raise up men and women, warriors for God, that are willing to lay down our lives for you, Father God. Give us that grace to love, Father God, like David Wilkerson did in New York, Father God. Give us that kind of love, your love that you have for Jesus Christ. Let that love be in us, that we can love you and love others. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.